Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Good morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Final show for us before the Thanksgiving holiday. Nice to have a couple of extra days off. Appreciate that. To the bosses, good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, man, it's going to be a fun 3 hour into a...
Happy Hour Tuesday?
Yeah, I was going to say that. Do we call it... why not?
Why not?
A Happy Hour Tuesday. I'm happy that it's Tuesday.
So. Me too.
And we got 3 hours, so we'll just go with that flow and all that other good stuff, man, as we get ready for, like you said, Thanksgiving. Got a couple days off, you know, not no vacation. You know, we take a couple days off.
Yeah, that's not vacation.
Yeah. It's amazing how you have to reason that with your wife.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just a couple days off. It ain't vacation time.
Well, cause, yeah,
right?
I mean.
Just relax.
It's actually going to be more work because this is great. You come in here, we hang out, we goof off, talk about sports for a couple hours. School's closed, too.
Yeah, man.
So. Tomorrow, you know, what are we going to do? I don't know. We're going to figure something out. I don't know what it's going to be.
You're doing nothing.
But I'm doing something.
Well, I mean, obviously, the kids are going to be home.
To keep
and everything
them alive,
like that.
Basically. That's what that's going to be.
I mean, I got one self-sufficient one.
Right.
And exactly. Then, like, everybody's coming home from school, so they can play their brothers and sisters and all that and leave daddy alone.
Yeah.
There we go.
I'm going to send them to your house.
Yeah, I mean, come on over, dog. We got babysitters. Everybody's coming in tonight, so yeah, you come over and send them on over there, man. I got us plenty of babysitters. Then I mean, we can go.
Then we'll go. Then it actually will be a little bit.
Yeah, then we could go and just leave them there.
Hey, had a good time yesterday up at Eagle Watch, by the way, for the golf tournament.
Did you bring it home?
We've finished 10th.
Hold on.
So we were in the top 10.
Hold on. With all that Carl Dukes yap.
What?
You remember he's like, oh, I was like, all this, I'm all under and everything like that. Hope Andy brings it home.
I know. I hope so, too. I don't know. We did like 15 under or something like that.
Okay.
Pretty good. I don't know. I played four holes. We birdied three of them.
Okay. That's
so
all. Okay.
I feel good about it. The team that won, like, I mean, we'll give some shout outs and some credit where credit's due. Let me make sure that I get shout outs correct here. James Porcello from Twin Peaks was on the team that won. His daughter is 16 years old. She's like the number one amateur golfer in the state.
Oh, so yeah, they had a ringer.
Yeah. And her teammate also played. And like, we're talking about, you know, we're talking about high school golfers that are going to probably be D1 golfers.
Right.
They also had a guy from Reformation Brewery on their team who's like a scratch golfer too. So they put together a good squad.
So y'all got beat by some ringers. Okay.
Well, okay. I think they all, you know, belonged in the tournament, whatever. But like, you know, when they told me who she, like what in like her resume and what she's doing in golf and all, I was like, that's awesome. Good for her. My main question was, how'd you do that?
Right.
Like, what'd you do? Like, mm-hmm. How'd you make her so good? And so then he gave me the blueprint.
So there you go. So
that's actually what I am. That's what I'm doing tomorrow.
Taking Lily to the golf course. That's why you're thinking about yourself.
Of course.
You're thinking about yourself and getting your gal up there and everything
Look,
you might want to start her early.
I don't need her to be, that's a lot of pressure to say be the number one amateur golfer in the state of Georgia.
Right.
But if she wants to play.
Exactly.
I just need somebody to play with.
And that gives you more, you know, because you're spending time with your kid.
Exactly.
You can
quality time.
Hey, Ash, we're going to go hit some balls.
Lily wants to go to the driving
range. And that's all you got to keep saying, her.
Yeah.
Lily wants to go.
Because when Lily wants to go to the playground, you know what we do?
What?
We go to the playground. When Lily wants to go to the library, you know what we do?
Yep.
We go to the library.
Yeah.
So
why can't we go to the golf course?
Lily wants to go to the driving range, then we're going to the driving range.
You might got a plan right there, dog.
Yeah. Well, we're going tomorrow.
Yeah, so you might got a plan.
That's what tomorrow actually is.
Yeah, you might have a plan.
I've been hyping it up for like a week.
So she's ready.
She's so ready to go. She's like, how many more sleeps until we go to the golf course?
Right.
It's like Christmas, basically.
Hell yeah.
Except better, because it's golf.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully the brainwashing has begun. And hopefully 12 years from now we're having the same conversation. Yeah, we were at the Brown Golf Classic, and we won it because Lily's the number one ranked Georgia State amateur golfer or whatever. Anyway, it was a lot of fun up there yesterday. I had a really good time. Glad I got to play a couple holes at the end of it and hang out afterwards. Got to see like Mike Johnson from the morning shift. Don't get to see him all that often,
right.
So that was kind of fun to hang and hang out after the tournament and see some folks. So a good time. But like we said, four shows in one today, trying to get everything in as it'll be our last opportunity to talk to you before the weekend. Chargers-Ravens was a fun game last night.
Yeah.
The Ravens are just better than the Chargers are, and the Chargers got banged up and lost J.K. Dobbins and all that kind of stuff. When the Ravens run the football like they did last night, they could beat anybody.
I think, Andy, first of all, the Harbaugh Bowl and everything like that, and John is 3-0 against his brother, including a Super Bowl win. I know he hates it.
Of course he does.
Jim Harbaugh is one of the most competitive people, and you see it a lot of times in his coaching style and post-game handshakes and everything like that. He's very competitive. And for him to lose again to his damn brother, he's got to be fuming. Now, the thing with the Baltimore Ravens is that they were down, and they kept with the run. Because usually if they get down, even by 10, they start going away from the formula of what they do to be successful right now. And that's giving the ball to Derrick Henry and then letting play action. Lamar was outstanding yesterday throwing the football. The one touchdown throw, both touchdown throws were amazing throws.
Well, the one, was it Bateman?
Yes.
I mean, he's getting mugged.
Yes,
and he
is.
Still comes up with the catch.
I mean, just
that was
a great
incredible
throw, great catch. And then obviously the big throw to Mark Andrews, but I thought,
that was a great throw too.
The gutsiness of the fourth down on the 16-yard line going for it. And then, you know, going for it on fourth down again, being able to get it. And I thought, you know, just the Ravens, they needed that after that damn ragged-ass loss they had previous to Pittsburgh. They needed that when they went in there. And like I said, Chargers are a hard-nosed football team who still, I keep hearing ahead of schedule and all those different things. They're going to get better. They're going to get rid of some of these contracts like Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
Probably going to get rid of Joey Bosa and everything like get you some money and be able to maybe fortify some younger players that are not as injury prone to those edge rushing positions. But yeah, I mean, Baltimore, I think the biggest thing is their defense played well.
Mm-hmm.
Defense played well, especially in the secondary. I thought they really did well. I love the Tre'Davious White move. I mean, he's a great player. He was a great player. Then he got hurt and just couldn't bounce back and everything. So if he can round out the form. And they were out without Roquan yesterday, too.
Yeah, to play defense like that without Roquan Smith is a big step for them, having played the way they did, like you said, in the game previous against the Steelers. So, like, they're fine. Like, obviously, they're not perfect, but they're as good as almost anybody in the NFL, I would say. Wouldn't surprise me if they're in the AFC Championship game. Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me to see those two teams maybe meet again in the playoffs.
I was thinking that myself this morning.
As good as the Chargers are, they're going to make the playoffs. I don't know how far they go in the playoffs. I think ahead of schedule is a good way to put it because, you know, I mean, I think the talent was there. We thought the talent was there. We just didn't believe in the coach. And it turns out coaching goes a long way with every team, certainly them. Now, from the Falcons' perspective, because that's who the Falcons play next. They play them on Sunday, short week at least, for benefits the Falcons, because the Falcons had a bye.
Right.
You got Monday Night Football, J.K. Dobbins banged up. Maybe that helps. Chargers have given up 30 points two games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
They're the number one scoring defense in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
and they've given up 30 points 2 weeks in a row now.
Yep.
Yeah, the Ravens are really good.
Yep. Lamar and Joe Burrow.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So it happens. Or I guess 27 in that one, but close. Like the most points they've given up in two games this year in back-to-back weeks. So, I don't know. Maybe they discovered something that the Falcons can tap into.
Maybe they can. I mean, I think if you protect Kurt, you can get after the secondary. I know Derwin James is an absolute monster, but, I mean, he plays so close to the box nowadays. I mean, if you can get something on these corners, you know. But my thing, it starts with the defense. I'm going to look at 8-man front for the Falcons and play man-to-man. They can cover the chart. Now, Justin Herbert is a superstar, in my opinion. I know a lot of people are, what has he done? No, he's a dude.
Man. Yeah, he's awesome.
He's awesome. I mean, he's big. He can run. He can pick every single throw, everything like that. I think you can man up these damn receivers that they have.
You know who's going to eat, though.
Oh, Lack can eat.
Yeah.
Lack
McConkey is going to.
That's fine.
He's a technician.
That's fine. But you can't let them run the football. I mean, Gus Edwards ain't no slouch. You know how much I love me some damn Gus Edwards. And, I mean, he can run the football behind that offensive line. But Falcons, 8-man front. Man up on these damn receivers and do your best to just make them. Because that's what Baltimore did last night. As good as Justin was, they took away the element of the run. And then the biggest thing they were able to do was rush and pressure the passer. And so can the Falcons get into a situation like that so far going through the season? No.
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 No, they're not.
They're not.
Like, look, I mean, there's a lot of different things that we can talk about with the Falcons and hope happen, and maybe sometimes they will, whatever. But I think you and I are kind of done talking about, well, if they can pressure the quarterback.
Yeah.
No, they can't. And until they actually give you a reason to talk about that beyond they can't do it, then there's no reason to talk about it because they can't do it.
No.
They got 10 sacks, man.
Yep.
It's about to be December.
Yep.
Like, it is. Like, Thanksgiving is on Thursday. They have 10 sacks.
Yep.
Like, they, you know.
I'm not surprised, though.
I'm surprised it's this bad.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it's, like, historically bad.
Yeah.
It's like, I didn't think it was going to be great, but I didn't think it would be like this. Like, this is, anyway. Yeah, that's a part of it. College football playoff rankings are going to come out tonight as well. I was thinking about it just in terms of, like, teams that have separated themselves, teams that have proven to not maybe be what you thought that they were. Abe said this yesterday about Ole Miss, and I think it's a good point. When they don't play their best, they can't win.
Right.
Like, if they play a bad game, they lose that game.
Right.
There's only, to me, like, you're looking at the top teams right now in college football, there's only a couple teams that when they show up and don't have their A game, they still win. And those are the teams that I think are the national championship contenders at this point.
That makes sense.
Georgia can't.
Yeah.
Georgia's played a few bad games and won those
games. Yeah, I think that, you know, I think it's more or less if you're used to being at a specific height, too. I mean, you know, Georgia has a lot of experience. They have a culture that plays in a lot of big games. It's played in a lot of big games. National championship games, obviously conference championships, playoffs. They've done it all, you know, since Kirby's been here. And you had a team like Ole Miss. I mean, you know, the culture, you know, it's – I don't know what they call their culture because they went out and got all these great players and bought them in and everything like that. And if you look at just pure talent, they have it.
Yeah.
They have it. Now,
and at their best, they're as good as anybody in the country.
But the thing about it is they don't know how to not be at their best. You know what I'm saying?
Like, exactly.
And it's been proven. They can't win when they don't have their A game.
Yeah. Unfortunately, their culture remains that of Lane Kiffin just not coming through in big moments. And the craziest thing about this season is he finally did it in the biggest moment.
Yep.
Like, they played an incredible game against Georgia and won by 18 points and looked phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And then they overlooked it. I don't know what they did against Florida. They got outplayed.
Yeah, the biggest win, and then you have a bye week. They needed a game.
Yeah, they needed to keep playing.
They needed a game.
They needed to keep playing.
They had a whole week of people patting them on the back and all this new media and everything like that, and Lane's feeling himself, because he was, rightfully so. And they went down to Florida, and they laid an egg. They got against a very hungry, determined football team. Talking about the Gators.
Yeah.
They were determined.
Definitely. And they fought.
And then, you know, come on. You don't expect your quarterback to have bad interceptions in the game. Or back-to-back. I mean, they got the ball back for you.
Yep.
And then you throw another interception. And I don't know where the hell that was going. Because the receiver stopped. He threw it to the damn DB.
Yeah, the second one was awful.
Yeah.
The first one was just a great play. But Oregon's played not great games and won those games.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State's had some games where they didn't have their A game and won those games. Georgia obviously can. I don't know who else can put in that category. Miami's played a few bad games and won those games. Because they have the great equalizer of that quarterback.
But he better wash himself this weekend,
boy. Yeah, no, Syracuse is no joke.
Going up to the Carrier Dome?
The two passing leaders at the quarterback position in college football this year playing in that game. Kyle McCord.
Oh, Kyle McCord's got numbers like
number
that?
Number two. Yeah.
Wow.
He's going nuts this year, except for that one game against Pitt where he threw like four pick sixes. But other than that, he's been really, really good this year. And then obviously Cam Ward's going to the Heisman ceremony.
Yeah, man. But they better watch their ass, Miami, going up to carry, though.
Doesn't it seem like with everything that's happened over the last couple of weeks, like the teams that are good but not great end up getting got?
Yep.
Like, doesn't it feel
Miami's going to get got?
Doesn't it feel like they got by Syracuse?
It's a chance Miami's going to get got.
Yeah, it feels like
it feels like such a
trap game or whatever you want to put it. Syracuse is pretty good and going on the road and all that.
It feels like it.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here to kick off the show on a Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lamar takes a snap, flips pressure coming. Jackson fires, end zone! Touchdown! Mark Andrews!
Yeah, there you have it. That was one of the Baltimore touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Great throw there from Lamar. He had two last night. Derrick Henry goes for 140 on the ground, as he often does. And the Baltimore Ravens kind of got back to their identity last night, running the football really well, using the play action, like Randy said, off of that run, and played some hard-nosed defense, even missing some guys. Chargers are good, too, though.
I mean, that
was a fun football game between the Harbaugh brothers, the Harbaugh Bowl. And pretty much what you'd expect. I wouldn't have guessed the Ravens would put 30 on them, because it's hard to put 30 on that Chargers defense. But that was a fun back and forth game to wrap up week 12 on Monday Night Football.
Well, I think the biggest thing with Baltimore was the bounce back. But I do think the Chargers are going to be one of those wild cards. Now, Miami's coming.
Yeah, Miami's
playing well, three in a row. They're charging and everything like that. But I do think that it's a possibility that, you know, that the Chargers will be in the playoffs. Like you said earlier, a possibility of them having to play each other again, maybe, in Baltimore, because Baltimore will be a division winner.
Yeah.
But, you know, as it relates to here, as we got the Chargers coming into town this weekend against the Falcons, you got to stop the run.
Yes.
J.K. Dobbins went down, don't know how long he's going to be out or anything like that. But, I mean, Jim Harbaugh wants to run the ball. Don't give it up. Who the running back is?
Yeah, they kind of didn't do that last night.
And that was the thing about it. They went away from what they do.
Yeah, I mean, they only attempted 20, and four of those were Justin Herbert. I don't know how many of those were designed.
Right.
J.K. Dobbins got hurt in the first half, 6 carries, 40 yards, didn't come back in the second. Gus Edwards was 9 for 11, so they shut him down. And then Hassan Haskins, their third-string guy. Like, that's a huge deal if J.K. Dobbins can't play for the for the Chargers on Sunday.
He's their bell cow.
Big benefit for the Falcons if he can't. And then you were mentioning it, like, you look at their receiving core. Ladd McConkey obviously is having a great rookie season. No surprise to any Georgia fans out there. But, like, Josh Palmer.
He's okay.
Jalen Reagor.
Okay.
You know, like you're talking about guys that you should be able to shut down. We're also talking about a Falcons team that got smoked by Marquez Valdez-Scantling 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the thing not going to disrespect any of these guys.
The thing with Johnston is, like, hey, he had the big drop last night, but, I mean, he can make plays. The kid out of TCU.
God, 5 targets, 0 catches.
Yeah, he can make plays, man. They had the biggest drop of the game, like running wide open on the move, and Justin Herbert hit him right in the damn hands. And
he's got all the physical tools. Yeah. If people don't remember him, he's that big receiver from TCU. From when they went to the championship game a couple of years ago. Yeah, I mean, he's built in a wide receiver lab.
Yep.
He just drops the ball.
Lack of concentration, man. Lack of concentration. So, I mean, if you can do some things with that, I love Dylan Cee as a tight end.
Yeah, Will Disley's awesome.
I love him, but, I mean, he shouldn't be that big a problem for you. But I think, you know, they got to stop the run. And if they can pressure Justin Herbert, they got a chance. Because I don't think that the Chargers, I think they're a good football team. I think they're a world beater. You know what I mean? You can get after them.
Oh,
you can beat this team.
For sure. They're you know, they're not one of the five or six premier teams in the NFL, but they also do the things that give the Falcons the most trouble.
They run the football.
Like, they run the football. The quarterback's hard to get to. You know what I mean? Like the dynamic quarterback that can keep the play alive.
Yes.
And they're just hard-nosed, man. They're just a hard team to beat, even if you beat them. The Ravens beat them last night. They got a headache today.
Yeah, you're going to be in the hot tub. They got back. They probably got back a few hours ago.
They bring their lunch pail. That's just a hard-nosed football team led by a hard-nosed coach. Then we'll get some weird Jim Harbaugh quotes this week. That'd be kind of cool getting into that game. He's always saying weird stuff. He's had a great quote about his brother. He goes, "I'd lay down my life for him, but I don't want him to win a football game."
Yes. Yes. He is steaming right now.
He
is hot.
Oh, you have that? You want to hear Harbaugh saying some, I might as well. Any chance you get to play some kind of weird, aggressive Harbaugh stuff, you might as well.
Oh, I love my brother, and I'd lay down my life for my brother, but I would not let him win a football game, and he wouldn't want it that way.
That's exactly
it just feels cool. Feels cool. We're ready to have at it.
That's exactly how I feel about all my brothers.
Yeah.
I'd do anything for him.
Yeah.
But if we're playing ping pong,
But that's the thing about it. Like, you have brothers, and so, I mean, the competitiveness of brothers playing any kind of sport. Competing in anything.
Competing in anything.
In anything. Yeah, anything. It has to be a way that y'all, like, damn near about to come to fist fights.
Yeah. Last time I got in a fist fight was over a game of ping pong with my brother.
How do you get in a fight over ping pong?
Don't know. I think it was a lot of stuff that led up to it.
It had to be.
It was also, it was like my grandma's funeral. Like, right. It was just a lot that day.
It had to be.
A lot
be,
of emotions though. That
it,
day.
It had to be. It had. That's what I'm saying. Like,
it was not a proud moment for either one of us. My mom's like, "What are you guys doing? Why are you guys fighting? Like, this is, you know, everyone's already sad."
And then y'all two,
Grammy died.
Y'all two dudes.
We're taking it out on each other.
Yeah, y'all two dudes.
And then 5 minutes later, we're like crying and hugging.
Fight over ping. Yeah, that was something else.
I don't think it was about ping pong.
Right.
I think ping pong was the spark that lit the the fire.
Yeah.
But
the gasoline was already down.
The gasoline was already laid down for years. I don't know what it was. Who knows? I'm sure we worked through it, though. Got to work through it. You got to be honest about how you feel. All right. Here's Kirby being honest about how he feels about Brent Key's preseason comments.
Yeah, I don't think you get real emotional about things like that. I think you're a lot better, you know, coach, when you stay composed and you coach your players and you teach your players what it's going to take to win the game, which it will be a emotional game. But I don't get emotional about it. It's an interstate rivalry. It's a chance at a state championship. It's a lot of pride. It's a lot of history in the game. But the game's played between the lines, between the players.
What did he say?
I don't know. Before the season, I maybe had some comments about the rivalry.
Oh. He said he doesn't even really like Georgia.
Right. Oh. And then after the game last week, he was asked about Georgia, and he was like, "I don't have a lot of passion for Georgia."
He shouldn't.
Yeah.
What does that?
And a lot of the player, and he played there. Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, played in big time rivalry games when the teams were more evenly matched than they are right now. I feel like the teams are probably more evenly matched Friday than they have been in I don't know how many years.
This is the best team.
I don't know how. This is the closest Georgia Tech has been to Georgia in I don't know how
they're
long.
Not close to it.
I'm not saying
but
they are,
but they're
but this, it's, they're closer
the,
than they
this
have
this
been.
This is the best team that Georgia Tech has fielded against Georgia.
I probably mean, since 2016.
Probably somewhere in that area, man. Yeah. And it's going to be it's going to be emotional and all those different things. They call it clean old fashioned hate. Okay, fine. I just call it hatred. You know, it's going to be fun up there at night. I just said, wrote down some notes about this earlier this morning, man. Don't let it be a one-possession game coming in the fourth quarter. Georgia needs to put them away and put them away early. And then once they're up, they need to grind on them because you don't – and that was the last time they beat them. They hung around. hung around.
I think they scored two touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Yes, just let them hang around.
Some trick plays, whatever it took, they got it.
Didn't put them away, and that's what they got to do, because Georgia Tech, if they get the game how they want to get the game, they beat Miami playing the game they want to play the game. They bludgeon Florida State playing the game they want to play.
Yeah.
If Georgia allows them to play the game that they want to play, Georgia's going to be in trouble.
Yeah, they want this game played.
It's going to be in trouble.
Less than 10 possessions each.
It's going to be in trouble.
They want it to be, you know, obviously a time of possession game. They want it to be a 24-21, something like that.
Yeah.
Georgia better be able to score more than that.
They need to get up in the 30s. But I think that the one thing about it is that defensively, you know, they got to tackle better. And I know that, you know, we could talk about the whole UMass game and everything. Yeah, Georgia didn't really do anything on UMass. It was all about Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Thursday, we'll just look at some UMass stuff.
Yeah.
This has been about Tech.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
Yes.
And that's true, no doubt about it.
Right.
But if they tackle like that against Tech, then you can't say that. You know what I mean?
I know exactly.
It's like, they played like that against UMass because it's UMass. But if they do that against Tech, then it's going to be a different deal.
I don't anticipate it, though. I don't anticipate it.
Now, they tend to get up for, I don't know, this is not the same as on the road at Texas or whatever, but it's a big one.
It's a big game.
A rivalry game.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Like Kirby was saying, this is about pride. Not bad they want to whip Georgia's ass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know how bad they want this game?
That's the other side.
Yeah. You know how bad they want this game?
This is like that game for Tech.
Yeah.
Like, this is going wherever. Whatever you want to put it on the college football schedule this year, this is that for
Georgia
Tech.
Georgia, which
is awesome.
Georgia goes in the Sanford Stadium, bull jiving Friday night. Tech will bite their ass, or how they say it, stang their ass.
They will
sting them if they go around there bull jiving around like they did against UMass.
Yeah,
no doubt about it.
I agree.
There's no doubt.
All right. Hawks played the Mavs last night. No Luka, no Clay.
What happened?
Kyrie. Kyrie still played.
Yeah.
Trey drives. Trey to the basket. Lays it up and got it blocked. No brother.
Yeah.
Now the Mavericks come back. Kyrie Irving has it. Kyrie Irving dribbles down the lane and lays it up and in. And the Hawks use their final timeout, but it's too late now. It's a 10-point game with 49 seconds left. Oh, boy. Hawks couldn't stop them when they needed to.
Yeah, man.
And they've given up 129 again.
Yep, that's right. Steve, I mean, perfectly summed it up.
Yep.
Both with his tone and with his words. That's what last night was. Kyrie Irving, I mean, when it was time to go in the fourth quarter.
He's a closer.
They couldn't stop him.
He's a closer,
like,
dude.
He was just phenomenal.
He has a handle to get wherever he wants to get. The suddenness to get his shot off against anybody.
Just step back.
And just
step back.
Buckets.
Step back.
And
game.
Buckets. That's what he does, man. And now, you know, I mean, this is going to be the Hawks season. It's going to be up and down. Going to be some good moments. Going to be some moments like this, you know. And they got their they got their full squad back, you know. Now, I don't know what's going on with 11. I know you had the assist numbers are there and everything. Something wrong. I don't know. I don't have no record or anything.
Well, I mean, he missed a game last week with an Achilles tendonitis. He just looks a little bit less like sudden, like you were saying about Kyrie, like a little bit less sudden off the dribble when he's trying to get his own shot. He's also been really into distributing the basketball.
Yeah, yes.
Like he's really, I mean, he's leading the NBA in
assists.
He's
putting the effort. And not like that he didn't do it before, but does it seem like he's like emphasizing it more? Because I can get mine at any time, so I want to get these guys shots, confidence more than anything.
I would say so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that sounds right. But then the problem is when it comes time to like, all right, like, you know, you're in a close one in the fourth quarter with Dallas and Kyrie's doing his thing.
Right.
Like that's when Trey tends to do his thing
right.
too. And you kind of go back and forth and he can get his buckets. He wasn't really able to do that last night. Kind of hasn't been able to do that. I won't say for all of the season. He's had big games. I mean, he's at 35 points a couple times this season. But, that's what it looked like in the fourth quarter last night. Now, Jalen Johnson, those for 28. And his, you know, double-double machine. And Bogey's back, and he had a really nice game last night, too. So you're getting scoring from other places, but it's when you get into that clutch last 4 minutes of the fourth quarter, game's close. That's where Trey's always been really good. And I don't know, maybe that is what it is.
I don't know. I mean, and it could be, you know, that, like you said, the Achilles lingering. I don't know. He just does offensively. He is too gifted of a scorer. Not to be scoring the way we're accustomed to him. We're accustomed to leading, the league in assists and all those different things. That's nothing new. That's what Trey does. Trey's one of the best ball distributors in basketball. I just want to see him get more off as far as finding the shot.
Yeah,
so does that take away from the assist?
He's leading the NBA in assists by a whole one per game.
Yeah.
This guy's at 12 assists a game. You know who's second?
Chris Paul.
Jokic.
Oh, damn. Oh, he's averaging triple-double.
This guy's averaging 29, so 30, 11, and that's crazy. The stat sheet used to be, it used to show points, assists, and rebounds. Now it shows points, assists, and three-pointers made.
Huh?
If that doesn't tell you where the NBA is right now, oh, he's leading the NBA in rebounding, too. 13 and a half a game, so.
Wow.
Pretty good. Pretty good player. All right, this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Mike Conte is going to join us next. Get his thoughts on how Trey looks and how the Hawks look early in this season. Obviously, get the post-mortem on the Atlanta United season coming to an end on Sunday. Got to ask him about Rob Valentino and his future with the club as well. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning, 20 minutes away from the NFL No Huddle to kick off the noon hour. Again, final show for Randy and myself this week, so we're going to do a lot of look-ahead stuff in the NFL No Huddle. We'll preview some of the Thanksgiving Day games that you can hear right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll talk about the Falcons and Chargers game as well, and still react a bit to what happened over the weekend as the week came to an end last night on Monday Night Football. The Hawks had a game last night we talked a bit about against the Mavericks. Obviously, the Atlanta United season came to an end on Sunday. So, a perfect guy to talk to here at 11:40 on a Tuesday is Mike Conte. Hi, Mike.
How are we doing, guys?
Doing all right. How about you?
Outstanding.
Man, I am just on pins and needles because East Group C is going to come down to Friday at 2:30. Hawks and Cavaliers.
Oh, right. Right. Yep. Ooh. The Cup, NBA Cup, my bad.
Oh, I started
What do you mean, who?
I was like, no, I wasn't saying who. I was like, ew.
What do you mean, who?
Ew.
Come on, man.
I mean, I got
Let's
the fever.
Lock in. I got championship
the cup.
Fever.
I got the Cup fever.
The MLS Cup, that's gone, okay? We can't have that now.
No, you can't.
But we
can't
can still have the Emirates NBA Cup.
Now, the winner of this game.
We got to lock
is,
in.
Is this the winner goes to Vegas, right?
Or not quite to Vegas yet.
Okay.
But I think they would be one step away from Vegas.
Okay.
Maybe two steps. I'm not sure. I proclaim myself to be an Emirates NBA Cup sicko, and yet I don't really, off the top of my head, remember all of this. But, even last night at the game, I was like, oh, they have no chance to beat Cleveland. Well, I don't know. It's tough to beat the same team twice in 3 days. You know, you play them tomorrow, you play them on Friday. Let's roll the dice. See what happens. Hawks could be the Cinderella story of the NBA Cup.
It seems like their win streak is coming to an end, right? You know, I mean, talking about Cleveland, they were all hot and everything. It's time for them to come back to the pack a little
bit. They got obliterated by the Celtics, and then they turned around and won, I think, another two or three in a row.
Yeah, they've only lost the one.
They've only lost the one. So, why not give them two and three?
See, the funny thing about the Cavaliers is, like, and I have a lot of respect for them. They're a great team. Do they strike you as, like, 96 Chicago or 18 Golden State? Like, no. I don't get that vibe from them.
No, they're not that. But I think it's like, you know, I think this is sort of a symptom of a couple of different things. Like, they're certainly good. There's no question about that. They have continuity. They brought back the whole group from last year, which nobody thought that they were going to do. I think people just don't really watch the NBA that closely in the first couple months. So it's like when they're 17-1, people are like, really?
Yeah,
really. They're really good. They're really, really good. And they're playing awesome basketball. So, look, I don't know. Do I think they're going to win 75 games this year?
No.
But
well, them
and the Celtics are the class of the Eastern Conference right now. It's not close.
They absolutely are. And I was not intending for my segment to be a shade session on the Cleveland Cavaliers. But it really is interesting how their schedule broke to begin the season. Again, you've got to win these games, but Toronto, Detroit, Washington to start the year. They did beat the Knicks and Lakers. And then Orlando twice against Milwaukee when they were scuffling. Milwaukee has since turned it around. New Orleans, they did beat Golden State. But then Brooklyn, Chicago, Philadelphia, Chicago again, Charlotte. They lose the game to Boston, then New Orleans and Toronto again, and now two against Atlanta. Like, that's
nice.
That's a nice, sweet drought. Like, look at their December schedule. They have to play the Celtics, the Nuggets, the Heat, and then they go to the West Coast, Denver again, Golden State, the Lakers. So they might come down to earth pretty soon.
Well, let's start this week. How about that?
How about we start this week?
We're talking about Trey during the break. Obviously, I mean, he's leading the NBA in assists. He's clearly, at least to me, it seems clear. Maybe I'm giving credit because I want to, but it seems clear that he's more focused on distributing and trying to get these young guys' confidence up and really move the ball around, which he's doing and it's working. But it just looks like something's a little off offensively with him when he's trying to get his, especially in crunch time. And maybe I'm reacting to what last night looked like.
No, I mean, we were talking about it. His floater is off.
Yep.
I feel like he goes through spells where that happens. He's not taking as many threes, but I think that's more, just as you said, an effort to be more of a distributor. I do see him expending a ton of effort defensively. I think he had three steals last night, if I remember correctly off the top of my head.
Correct, yeah.
So maybe, you know, maybe it's just a little bit different where, you know, the complimentary scorer is not a backcourt player now, but a frontcourt player.
Yeah.
It could just literally come down to that. I also don't think the rest of the league really respects Jalen Johnson and Dyson Daniels' scoring abilities the same way that maybe we do in Atlanta. And I think Trey, I don't see teams like blitzing Trey and trapping him and doubling him the way that they were doing 2 years ago. But I do think Trey has the disadvantage of always drawing the opposition's best defender, because I don't think there's a lot of fear around the NBA yet that, oh, you know, Jalen Johnson, I don't know if we can stop him, or Dyson Daniels, I don't know if we can stop him. So that might be part of it, too. I don't think he's hurt. I don't think it's anything like that. Like, I know he had the rib thing. I don't think it's that. I think if he was hurt, he would probably make that known, and you know, to an extent, the Hawks would have to put it on their injury report as well.
Like, Atlanta United's, obviously, their season came to an end in Orlando on Sunday. And my question for you, and I know everybody's questions about Rob, how big of an offseason is this for this organization going forward?
Oh, it's enormous. Because, A, you have put the coaching thing off to the side. You have two designated player spots available to fill.
Right.
And we've talked at great length about how in Major League Soccer, the way the salary cap works, where good teams are built is through their designated player spots. And Atlanta United's been playing with one hand tied behind their back all year, which is a testament to how great a job Rob did.
Right.
Because they didn't have Yorgos Giakoumakis and Thiago Almada, in Yorgos' case, most of the year, in Almada's case, more than half the year. So you're playing with two, if you were a three-armed monster, you have two arms tied behind your back. Now they're going to be able to address that, all right? They're going to be able to go out and get two designated players. I think below that level, some of the rank-and-file players, I think you're going to see major, major changes with this team. Major changes. The coach has to be resolved. You're going to have a new general manager. That's one of the reasons why I think you're going to have major changes, because you're going to have a new team builder now. Mm. And philosophies might be completely different based on the coach that you bring in. And I hate to say this, I don't think people are going to want to hear this, but if you're talking about, like, new coach, new GM, two new designated players, a bunch of new TAM-level players and below, that is not a quick fix. Okay, that's a process. And this playoff run was nice, but I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot of patience around here for another rebuild, you know, for half a season or more next year until you can finally get this, you know, finalized in the summer transfer window. It's going to take a while based on...
Which comes first?
As far as...
The GM coach. Do you think they hire the GM?
I think it could be simultaneous.
Okay.
And I think it'll probably be pretty soon on both.
If it's not Rob Valentino, which, I don't know, kind of just based on the timeline.
If it were going to be him, I think they would have said so by now. And I hate to say that. I said it on the broadcast on Sunday. He would get my vote if I had a vote,
right.
But I don't have a vote.
Me too, and neither do I.
If you were going to keep him, you probably would have announced it by
now. So if he's not the guy, does he stick around as an assistant like he has?
I think he'll try to be a head coach somewhere.
Yeah, at this point.
And he should be.
He should, absolutely.
He should absolutely get that chance somewhere. He absolutely should get that chance somewhere. If not in Major League Soccer, maybe in USL. But I think he has more than proven with, again, two hands tied behind his back with the roster that he had. You know, just from the emotional standpoint, he got this team motivated to win four playoff games, essentially a fifth playoff game on decision day. That's magic tricks. I mean, that's outstanding coaching. So I think he'll get a chance somewhere else, and I hope he does.
Mike, where do you think, because we were talking, obviously, college ball and everything, and obviously Penn State did get the win and everything.
Barely.
But they won.
Oh, you were right.
Barely.
But it was
close.
It was muttering in my hotel room in Orlando. Coach Hot Sauce is really going to trick off this game.
They were trying.
Fake punt.
The Big Ten as a whole, though, as far as the Indiana, the whole debacle. Not debacle, but they got beat by a better football team. But the other debacles that happened that day in the SEC.
Yeah.
I mean, is it because of what happened in the SEC, do you still think they're there as far as inside the top 10? Talking about Indiana. Is it only because of what happened? You know what I mean? What happened to Alabama? What happened to Ole Miss?
Or do
you
now, think, that's a really good question.
Or do you think they are that good?
That's a really, really good question. I don't know what the committee thinks.
Right.
I think if I were ranking them, I would not have them above a two-loss Alabama, a two-loss Ole Miss. But I will have them above a three-loss Alabama or Ole Miss. Because wins and losses do matter.
Right. Absolutely.
Strength of schedule matters. Wins and losses do matter. I thought Indiana played really well at Ohio State. I thought Indiana was more competitive against Ohio State than Penn State was against Ohio State, partially because they were on the road. That final score is misleading. Ohio State, I thought, ran up the score on them at the end. That was a completely needless quarterback sneak at the end of the game when they could have taken a knee and just run out the clock. So I was very impressed with the way Indiana played. I was expecting them to get boat raced, and they did not. What will the committee do? Watch where they put Georgia in relation to Indiana tonight. I think that will be very interesting. I think that'll give us a hint. Because eye test-wise, I don't think there's any doubt, and I'm not saying this because we're in Atlanta, I don't think there's any doubt, eye test-wise, Georgia is superior to Indiana.
Oh, right. Yeah, without question.
Eye test-wise.
Without question.
So where will the committee rank Georgia in relation to Indiana? And that's going to tell you a lot about how resumes and deserving teams are maybe ranked ahead or behind of best teams.
Yeah, I think Georgia will be the highest ranked two-loss team because I think they have the best resume of any two-loss team.
I think they should be.
And they'll be ranked ahead of some one-loss teams, too. They'll be ranked ahead of Miami, as they have been. They'll be ranked ahead of Indiana, like you're talking about, SMU.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about Indiana. Like, that's where I'm going to be interested.
How far do they go down? That was my biggest thing.
Yeah.
How far do they drop?
Because they were fifth, right? It's not like they were second or first. They were fifth, so to be 10th is not that far.
You know,
to be 9th, to be 8th is not that far of a drop.
The other team that I'm really curious to see where they come out tonight is Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm. Probably 4, right?
They were 6.
I don't think Penn State drops just because they nearly tricked the game.
Yeah, do you jump them over Penn State?
Well, some people have done that in the AP poll.
They were more dominant.
Notre Dame, Abe and I have been talking about this. Notre Dame, physical team, that's the team no one has been talking about that might be the dark horse of this whole thing. And no one's going to be happy.
I know they're a good football team. The coach, I mean, they want to run the football. I love the quarterback. They just I don't know what they want to do with
it. I think they are set up so perfectly for a winter playoff game outdoors. They're going to run the football and play good defense.
What if they lose to USC on Saturday?
Then they should be out.
There's no way in hell.
In fact, I don't think there's any doubt.
There's no doubt. If they lose to USC.
Honestly, USC I think the Northern Illinois loss should be a disqualifier to begin with.
But is it because it was so early, though?
Yeah.
If they lost to Northern Illinois this week, they'd be out.
They'd be out.
They lost to them in September, and no one has a memory that goes past yesterday. So
that's true.
Good for them. Yeah. Mike, we appreciate it,
Mike.
Thank you. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour here. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Thanks for being with us here on a Tuesday morning, soon to be afternoon. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.